Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Today, my end of year 2021 best of funny things, comedy, comedians, specials, stuff. I mentioned earlier in the week, this year's comedy specials, I had a tougher time this year putting the list together than I did in 2020, full-blown pandemic. More things got released, I think, maybe, but the specials weren't that good. I don't have a lot of comedy specials on here. So what I wound up doing is just making a list of my top 10, which is really a top 13, which is really a top 12, you'll see, things that I enjoyed in 2021 that were funny. Let's go best to last. So what was the funniest thing of 2021? To me, far and away, the funniest thing of 2021. And between this and number two, it's like 10 miles. Huge gap between one and two. This thing had me rolling on the floor, figuratively. I was on the couch, laughing very hard, in tears, sharing it on Instagram, telling all my friends, texting people, oh my God, you got to watch this. It was on Hulu, Too Funny to Fail, the documentary about the failed Dana Carvey show. Oh my goodness, I never laughed so hard. Some of the people in this thing, Stephen Colbert, heard of him, Steve Carell, Robert Smigel, you know him as Triumph, Dana himself. IndieWire wrote, when the film turns its focus to the run of the show itself, it introduces the fascinating layer of some unguarded feedback from ABC executives as the programming decision makers of the network follow the timeline from greenlighting the show to describing the final product they had no idea they were getting. You can track the repressed disdain as it slowly builds. Watching Colbert and Carell talk about the origins of waiters who were nauseated by food, or hearing some of Robert Smigel's inspiration for the ambiguously gay duo, is worth the runtime alone. You gotta watch this thing, and there's a part in it, I don't want to totally give it away, but Stephen Colbert tells a story about a promo that aired on ABC. They show the promo running on ABC in context. Colbert can't even stop laughing to finish the story, and I was in stitches. Far and away, the funniest thing I saw in 2021. Too Funny to Fail on Hulu. All right, I am interrupting my own podcast, and here's why. Today's December 26th. I didn't want to record a podcast on Christmas Day, so I recorded today early. You can understand that. But I recorded it early, like 10 days ago, and then here's what happened. I went to watch TV the other night, and two of the best things of the year showed up on my television. Now, number one is still Dana Carvey, but these next two things have to be shoehorned between numbers one and two because the rest of the podcast is done. So let me assign these things numbers. This first thing is really good, but not as funny as Dana Carvey. So I'm going to say number 1.5 on my list being the Ricardos. I talked about it on the podcast during the week. I want to give this thing 4 Oscars. I think it's the best movie of the year, so I'll give it Best Picture. Javier Bardem as Desi Arnaz. J.K. Simmons as William Frawley. Awesome. I want to give him Best Supporting Actor. I want you to consider Aaliyah Shawkat. She plays one of the writers for Best Supporting Actress. And I want you to consider Nicole Kidman for Lucille Ball. I don't think Nicole will win it for this, but I thought she did a great job as Lucy. But Javier Bardem as Desi Arnaz, whew, on point. Being the Ricardos, loved every second of it. So that is my number 1.5 thing on the funniest things of 2021. Next up, again, I have to shoehorn this between Ricardos and the thing you're going to hear me say is number two, Jim Gaffigan Comedy Monster. Let's call this number 1.75 on the list. I think it's Jim Gaffigan's best special. His opening, especially here this weekend as we're all freaking out about Omicron, so on point, so timely. I thought some of the religious stuff he did in the middle was really strong. Jim Gaffigan Comedy Monster, and I've talked about this on this podcast in the past where I have this Emperor of Rome thing where I've heard so much comedy that I don't laugh. I just go, oh, that was really funny. That was great. Well, really great written. I was laughing out loud at this thing, and my 83-year-old mom also liked it. So let's shoehorn those two in, and I'm going to go back to 10 days ago me and see what else is on the list, but I will tell you, because I know what I'm about to announce, the gap between Dana Carvey, then there's a gap to Ricardo's and Gaffigan. Now there's like a giant canyon until this next thing. Nothing else on this list is as good as these first three things. Number two, George Lopez tacos. Why? Because I got so much comedy out of George Lopez announcing he had a taco business and taking it so seriously. Earlier in the year when there wasn't much going on, half the episodes were about George Lopez tacos. George took this project so seriously, he spoke to MASH and said, Taco Tuesday, I think it's limiting. Tacos are 24/7 every day of the week. George spoke to Eater and said, the places where they make the tortillas, all the sauces and all the carnitas, the steak and the chicken, that big wheel of food is going to start turning over all again. His beloved grandmother, who raised him, was an inspiration for cooking authentic Mexican food. George Lopez said, there wasn't a smaller kitchen than the one my grandmother cooked in. If she was here, I think she might be happy with the way George Lopez tacos turned out. George Lopez, thank you for all the comedy. Number three, John Mulaney. Is it inappropriate to say, hey, John Mulaney, thanks for breaking up your marriage and running away with Olivia Munn? That would be inappropriate. That's not cool, Johnny Mac. You're a jerk. But I got a lot of content out of John Mulaney and Olivia Munn and the baby's on the way and Gossip Corner and all that. Thank you, John Mulaney. And from a clicks standpoint, John Mulaney gets you additional downloads. You know who else gets you additional downloads? Number four on the list, Dave Chappelle. This is not a commentary on Dave Chappelle or the trans community. It is a commentary on I Like Downloads. And boy, if you put Dave Chappelle in the title, you get downloads. Dave's comedy is always interesting. Dave is always in the news. So Dave Chappelle's number four. Number five, this is a thing that I check out every week. I'm always excited when it hits my phone. I always laugh at it. It always tickles my brain. And you've heard me say before, someday I will deny that I ever told you to listen to Tim Dillon's podcast. Tim walks right on the razor's edge and he's going to step on the landmine eventually. I can feel it coming and I'm going to run for the hills and be like, I never said to listen to Tim Dillon's podcast. But until that day, listen to Tim Dillon's podcast. That's number five. Number six, and we're already at number six. I haven't mentioned any stand-up specials. That's what kind of lame year it was for stand-up. So at number six, Nate Bargatze's Greatest Average American. I liked it so much I watched it twice. I enjoyed it, and then I'm like, my wife would like this, and I watched it a second time with her. That is a can't miss. Number seven, this one only made the list recently. I recently told you I was watching Netflix, and they were like, hey, check out Phil Wang's Philly Philly Wang Wang. And I'm like, what's that? But I hit play. Really good, solid special. Phil Wang's Philly Philly Wang Wang, probably off your radar. Check that out. Number eight, Tim Heidecker's Joe Rogan parody. He put it up as a 12-hour YouTube video. It's really 1 hour looped 12 times. The audio edition, which I listened to, is 1 hour looped 4 times. So good that I listened to 2 hours worth, even though I had heard all the jokes. Heidecker and two guests just channel Joe Rogan and crew talking about nothing and making it sound like it's all so important and spiritual and smarter than everybody else. Heidecker nailed it. Go find that. You'll find it on the podcast Office Hours or go to Good Pods. I made a list called Mentioned on Daily Comedy News or something like that. Follow me on Good Pods. I'm at Johnny Mac. And I made some lists. You'll just find it there or the Office Hours podcast, the name of the podcast. Number nine, a tie. Two folks cracking me up on Saturday Night Live. Bowen Yang and James Austin Johnson. Bowen Yang crushes it in every single sketch he's in. Absolutely love him. James Austin Johnson coming on here in the fall and doing a really good Trump and appearing in a bunch of things. The last few weeks, they've hid him, but he came out of the box great. So they're on my list. Number 10, Ted Lasso. Even though season two was not as good as season one, maybe nothing could live up to the hype of season one. But season two was really nice, lulled a little bit in the middle, but finished strong. So Ted Lasso, number 10 on the list. Number 11, Hacks. I was asleep on Hacks, and I saw enough other people say this is pretty good. It is not at all the story of Joan Rivers, but might as well be, you know, with some fiction added on top. A Joan Rivers-esque comedian hires a younger writer. Hacks is fantastic. I was evangelizing for that and telling everyone to watch it. You should watch it. Number 12, What We Do in the Shadows had a really strong season. Always enjoy that. I always describe it to people as The Office, but vampires. And number 13... this is a hedge by me. Jimmy Carr's special that came out yesterday that I haven't seen yet, because believe me, I didn't record this episode on Christmas Day. What are you, crazy? I'm just going to guess that was pretty good. Jimmy Carr is always good. I'm excited for the special. Haven't actually seen it, but I'm adding it to my best of 21 list based on faith, Jimmy Carr. Jimmy Carr number 13. Don't forget, there's a Facebook group, facebook.com, Daily Comedy News Group. I had asked the listeners earlier in the year when I was struggling with this list, what should I put on the list? Lane Spurkus wrote in and said, I still don't know what I think of Bo Burnham's Inside. Let me jump in there. I don't get it. Like, I get it. I get it, but I don't get it. I got 15 minutes into it. It was fine, but like, I see everybody putting that at number one. I didn't even add it to my list. I don't know. Lane says, it was inarguably a big deal. That is true. It's notable that John Mulaney did a successful tour despite enormous personal drama that could fill 1,000 Gossip Corner segments. See? I'm a big fan of Sarah Squirm Sherman's mainstream emergence on SNL. Good call. Growing recognition of Jessica Kirsten's stand-up. Wow. Lane writes, long overdue. Yeah, I know Jessica maybe 15 years at this point. Nate Bargatze and Josh Johnson released decent specials. Season 2 of Tim Robinson's I Think You Should Leave continue that show's run of excellence. James A. Caster's amazing Cold Lasagna Hate Myself 1999 wasn't made in 2021, but I didn't get to see it until this year. Lane adds, Chappelle, Rogan, Schultz, and others surfing on a lucrative yet largely non-existent wave of cancel culture was certainly a thing. Scott Beckett added, your man crush and future MacPacker from SNL has to be one. I believe he means Andy Samberg there. I think Andy's now officially in the MacPack. Ted Lasso, even though not as good as season one. Yes, I agree, Scott Beckett. How about Seth Meyers' writing team or one of them that you love? I tend to find the Fallon jokes the most on point, but they're all good. And Gary Goldman back on tour after his troubles. Good call. Gary got to play Carnegie Hall. Very happy for him. The New York Times did their list. They did a grab bag like I did from the New York Times. Comedy got dangerous in 2021. Don't we write that every single year? Not cancel culture dangerous. More like I might contract COVID at this show dangerous. But their list is really strong. Best punchline inside a club to diffuse COVID anxiety. One night at the Comedy Cellar, David Tell told a guy, I'm glad you're wearing a mask because we need a survivor to tell the story. Oh, that's such a great joke. Bill Burr was at the Westside Comedy Club and said, I'm happy to be down here working on a new variant. Best experimental comedy, Tig Notaro's Drawn. I guess. I saw that on a lot of lists. Best musical comedy, Bo Burnham Inside. I don't know. I thought Schmigadoon was better than that. I'll fight you on this, New York Times. Schmigadoon destroys Bo Burnham's Inside. How about that for a gauntlet? Best opening bit, in Imperfect Messenger. A Comedy Central special packed with refined comic gems, Roy Wood Jr. begins by discussing things that are not racist but feel racist. An example, when you go somewhere and there's too many American flags. You know, I had this feeling in the summer. I was driving down to Long Beach Island and a guy in a pickup truck came by and had two giant American flags flying off the back. And just something about it made me go, ugh. And I texted my friend. I'm like, when did American flags become a thing that makes me go, ugh, we live in weird times. I like American flags. They've just been co-opted a little bit. I digress. Best directing. The movie Shiva Baby offers a modern spin on the postgraduate angst of The Graduate. Haven't seen that, but I've seen some good buzz on that. Best memoir. Lorraine Newman's May You Live in Interesting Times. Best documentary. Mentally Al, catching up with unsung comic Al Lubell when he's near broke, disheveled, and struggling. I'm sure it's great, but Dana Carvey, man, that was a doc. I'm going with Dana Carvey. Best political comedy, Alison Leiby's Oh God, An Hour About Abortion, an understated, humane, and deeply funny examination of the experience of having an unwanted pregnancy and an abortion. I'm drawing a blank on that. I bet I talked about it at some point during the year, but I don't remember that at all. Do you? Best Keystone Cops update, Tiffany Haddish and Bad Trip. Best special, they went with James A. Caster's Cold Lasagna Hate Myself 1999. Best Arena Spectacle, Cat Williams at the Barclays Center, Yellow Sneakers and a Burr, and a massive sign that announced World War III. Best Netflix debut, Naomi Exparagin's set in The Stand-Ups, released on Netflix December 29th. Well, New York Times, how am I supposed to add that to the list? It's in the future. Hey, Johnny Mack, you had a Jimmy Carter. You're a list. You hadn't seen that yet at all. At least the New York Times has seen Naomi. All right, I'll shut up. Best Grand Unified Theory. In describing how the porn industry pioneered everything on the internet from user-generated content to diversity casting, Danny Joels, in his endearing and too far overlooked Amazon Prime Video special Six Parts, finds a new way to describe the fragmentation of the filtering of the news. All news, he argues, has become kink news, catering to our narrow, even perverse whims. That sounds like a really good thing. I'll check that out. Six Parts on Amazon. All right, I'll try and remember that. Best inside comedy parody. I described this before, but the New York Times, being the New York Times and not some idiot in his basement, described it better. Tim Heidecker hits the bullseye with his recent YouTube spoof of the Joe Rogan Experience. Its 12-hour running time, really 1 hour on a loop, is the first joke. So precise, so meticulously sensitive to details, to the cadence and lingo of that podcast, his conversation with two guests is a masterclass in sounding absolutely earth-shattering while saying precisely nothing. Amen. Best argument for the staying power of Curb Your Enthusiasm? I don't know about this season. I've been watching it. I don't know. Then I put on HBO Max, and then after Succession, they're like, new Curb. And I'm like, I don't know if I care. I don't know. Most underrated star comic, Jim Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan's put out so much material for so long, he's easy to take for granted. The fact that he's family friendly probably doesn't help his press either. Really? I think it's quite the opposite, everybody. Really, New York Times? We might have to have a little kerfluffle in the hall, New York Times. You got some bad opinions on here. Jim Gaffigan being family-friendly definitely helps his press. You kidding me? Here, you want an example? You think the Pope is going to hang out with Dave Chappelle, Joe Rogan, or Louis C.K.? He's not. Gaffigan opened for the Pope. Opening for the Pope gets you press. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your pods. See you tomorrow.